Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Capes and Scowls. I'm Lou.
I'm Tim.
And today we're here with James Boyle, who is an artist who has recently been featured on Dynamite Comics' Pathfinder series, as well as my cousin Chris. So say hey, guys.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
So we're going to do an interview here with James.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so you've done five variant covers for the current Pathfinder series, which looks like it's called Hollow Mountain.
That's right,
Hollow Mountain. So, I've personally known you for a long time, probably since almost maybe you've started your artist career. So, maybe you could tell us a little bit about what the journey is from sort of like the beginnings and where you picked everything up to having your work featured by, you know, a major comic company.
Yeah, sure. Well, I was always interested in art, comics in particular, in high school. Art class was definitely my thing throughout those years. I think I always wanted to be a comic book penciler growing up. So I grew up around time of like the Image boom, like Jim Lee and Todd McFarlane and all those guys. From there, I went to art school. I went to the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. I studied illustration at the university there. That's a 4-year program. Let's see, after that, I got out, and Lou, I think you were one of my first clients.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, James and I have a history. He's done artwork for two of my band's album covers, High Council, Motion Denied, and No Further Questions, which are really cool. And you can check those out online. We'll do the plugs at the end of the interview, but you can see what those look like as well. But yes, you did those.
Yeah, I was very grateful to have that commissioned too. I think it was the first time someone had emailed me to commission some artwork. So I was very excited, and I was very impressed by the. I remember the backstories for the concepts that you guys gave me were very, very thought out. You had the whole mythology down and everything.
Yeah, and I got to say, I myself was impressed by the amount of contact you kept, because I've worked with several artists doing music stuff, and not everybody is as communicative or actually, you know, submits stuff on time or has the cool, you know, sort of like back and forth of ideas that you did have. And that was cool to be a part of, and later on disappointing when it was not around anymore.
Yeah, well, glad to hear it. I think one of the things that they stressed in my classes at school was, you know, the importance of being a professional and, you know, always doing right by your clients. Communication was a big factor, staying in touch, just to check in, put them at ease, you know, because people are putting money up for, you know, for your work. So it's definitely something that, I take pride in being able to do, is having good client relationships, you know, being able to answer any questions they might have about the process and, you know, just being clear about the dates when things are going to come in, when they're due.
There's a lot of, like, I guess in any artistic field, before you're at the point where you're really making a living or making an income off of it, a lot of people expect work for free. Have you run into that? Have you had to do, like, pro bono stuff just to get your name somewhere or, you know, to work towards something bigger?
I think, people just starting out will run into that. And, you know, I can't say that I had anything that bad when I was starting out. But yeah, like, I mean, you see it, you know, you get email. I mean, I still get emails from time to time from someone who has an idea for this or an idea for that. Everyone has an idea for, you know, a comic book they want to write or something like this. And as soon as you mention, you know, your page rate or how much it would cost, you don't hear from them again.
Want you to draw me up something.
Right? Yeah. Well, hey, drawing's easy, right? You just sit down and just like doodle your little pictures, and it's not really work or anything. It doesn't really take any time. So,
right, sure.
But no, it actually takes a lot of time to, especially to develop a comic book. There's a lot of work involved, page to page storytelling. So no, can't say I really have any horror stories regarding that, because I always try to stay clear of those kinds of people.
That's good. And yeah,
I hear about it a lot, you know. It's something a lot of like younger artists I think run into. But yeah, definitely if any younger people starting out, I mean, are listening, these potential clients, they promise exposure, and you know, with the internet these days, anybody can have a website and get their work out there. That exposure doesn't really mean much.
Right.
You know, that they're promising. So yeah, avoid them.
So how did you get from there onto the cover of Pathfinder?
Well, after graduating school, I had my portfolio in hand, ready to, try my luck. And I think I started going to conventions, comic book conventions. Locally around here, it was Wizard World.
Oh, yeah.
In Philadelphia.
It's a good one.
I started bringing my work there. And, you know, I would buy a day pass, and I would hang out in Artist Alley.
Yeah.
And, I pretty much go to table, either, you know, looking through, you know, other people's work that were set up there. Trying to talk to, you know, professionals that were there, showing them my work. And, you know, I got good feedback and a lot of, you know, encouraging, you know, advice and critique. And I think it was at one of those conventions. I think it was the first year that I was out of college. I met up with a guy named Tyler Chin Tanner, who was publishing a book called Adrenaline. And I think he had an artist lined up to do a 6-issue miniseries for his story. The artist ended up dropping out. I forget the reason, but he happened to be looking for an artist, and there I was at the right time with my portfolio. After that convention, I got an email from him a couple of days later, inquiring about if I would be interested in penciling the book or possibly coloring it. From there, signed a contract with them, and we started work on Adrenaline, which is published by A Wave Blue World. They're out of Portland. And I think the first issue came out about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
It was definitely a learning experience for me. My first time penciling actual comic pages, which can be pretty time-consuming, and you know, for a rookie like myself, I was definitely cutting my teeth on that project.
Right. So what would you say is like the time investment in like per page doing something like that? If it's you're the penciler, how much time are you like really investing in doing that?
Mm-hmm. Well, you hear a lot of different, different guys will spend different amount of time on pages, but it seems like the average seems to be between 8 and 12 hours per page. I was kind of upwards around the 12 hour mark.
Right.
It was a struggle for me, but definitely learned a ton from doing it.
Cool.
So after doing those 6 issues, that took me quite a while. I think it was a couple years actually to get those out. And from then, I went back to work, you know, at a day job, getting my portfolio back together, trying to regroup myself and, you know, find the next project.
Did Dynamite get in touch with you?
No. Part of the thing that I do, for my, in my weekly, you know, during my weekly business, you know, activity, is I send out, you know, I do email marketing to different companies, potential clients, and it's usually in the form of just, I'll email them and, you know, drop a link to my website. A lot of the times you don't really hear anything back, sure. But sometimes you do. And I think with Dynamite, it was my second time contacting them. I had just redesigned my website, so I had a flashy new site that I wanted to market to people, so I had an excuse to to reach out again. And I guess it was at the right time because, you know, I sent some emails out and I was contacted from Rich Young from Dynamite, the editor there, shortly after, saying that he was looking for a cover artist for this new Pathfinder Hollow Mountain series, and that's how it all came about.
That's great, man. And I gotta say, they look really good. I mean, I've always liked your work. This is definitely, like, you know, in the continuing the good tradition of stuff you've done.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. So, what, which artists, and it can be comic or otherwise, mm-hmm. Influence you?
Well, I was saying before, you know, growing up, it was like the big name pencilers like Jim Lee,
right?
Joe Madoria. Chris Bacalo. That's horrible pronunciation right there.
It's okay. We always butcher everyone's names.
Yeah, we good. Do. Yeah, we usually get Jim Lee right, though.
Well, yeah. We do, I guess. So. Yeah.
Unless you pass out while saying it, you pretty much got it in the bag.
Then later on, Mike Mignola, for yeah. sure. I got yeah. really into his work. I think he's a genius for sure. Then in college, I started branching out a little bit to, you know, outside of comics, but people who were still comic influenced. James Jean is a big one. Asaf and Tomer Hanuka. I really into their work. I'm kind of drawing a blank right now.
That's a lot of influences.
It's a good amount of influence.
I can't really point to any you know, one major influence.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have a you know, amalgamation of mm-hmm. you know, influences, and I'm pretty sure that's how most people do experience that.
I think so.
Yeah. All right, so moving forward, what would be like an ideal project? Like, if you could just pick, if someone came to you and said, all right, you got your pick, what book would you work on?
Well,
or create?
Yeah, you know, I think I'd love to make my own book. You know, with these covers, I'm a single artist producing these covers. So, you know, I draw, I ink, I color. I think what you know, my dream project would be, you know, take my own book, maybe you know, like a single shot graphic novel, you know, personal story or something like this. You know, that could have like full creative control over the writing, the whole production of it.
Yeah. Are you reading anything now, comic wise?
Actually, just I mean, I'm way behind. I'm like, oh, my comic reading.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. We don't have an excuse though.
Yeah. If I didn't do this podcast, I would probably be 3 years behind on my comic books.
I have whole runs I haven't read.
Yeah, I think most recently I was reading some trades from the new Batman runs, like the Quarter Vows, City of Vows, yeah. Death in the Family. And then from there, I was kind of on a Batman kick, and I got a hold of The Killing Joke, which I'd never read before.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic one. Mm. I read a lot of Image titles. I was on The Scout for a while. I was thinking that new series, Trees.
Trees is weird.
Yeah.
Trees is the good weird.
Mm-hmm. We love Image. I think on the last episode, we did our tops of 2015 and all four of the all four of us on the podcast picked Image as our favorite company of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you get creator-owned projects. There's a lot of love. You can see it in there. But I feel like Vertigo did good. I feel Dynamite did good. I feel everybody but the big two stepped up their game this year.
Yeah, the creative-owned aspect is what I really like about Image. And I'm probably in the comic shop maybe like once a month, just kind of stop in and see what's happening. And those are the books I gravitate towards, you know, because you know Image is really using a lot of different alternative styles of art now. And, you know, like unique designs on the cover and things like that. And you get that, you know, you get that kind of like that. That unique vision that the big two aren't really providing outside of their, you know, their mainstream titles.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of like it's a niche market that's been there for a long time and now is starting to not become niche. I think people are starting to catch on to it as more of an art form and wanting stories that aren't, you know, at least in greater numbers, they're wanting stories that aren't just superhero based, which is cool. I think it's exciting.
That's very cool. It's I think it's difficult to. It must be difficult to maintain a monthly, to maintain those monthly sales, continuously, when it's something that you know it's not a known character or property.
Right.
So I think back to your question earlier when you asked me what my you know my ideal project would be. I don't think it would be like some kind of long term, you know, project, but it'd be something where I could. You know, I think this Pathfinder thing is a 6-issue, you know, miniseries. You know, I think I would like to keep, you know, something more truncated like that.
Gotcha. You got any questions?
Do I got questions?
Does Tim have any questions?
I got questions.
James Boyle.
How long do you think it took you to do this cover from beginning to end? Doing the inking, the coloring, I'm sure, is a process.
Yeah. Well...
Roughly.
Yeah. Well, I pause because I'm thinking of my my wife because she's always yelling at me because I spend too much time on anything I'm working on art wise.
Something
like
my wife.
You're gonna go podcast again. Yeah, I am.
I don't think it's the same.
No. I mean, the nagging is
too long is greater than zero.
Yeah. Wow.
Sorry.
She won't listen. You're good.
Oh, sweet.
You're fine.
Well, yeah, she's always on me for, you know, not getting these done faster. But I'll say about a week. On a single image.
It's not crazy.
No, that's pretty good.
That's really good, and it's good. I think it's really good that you have someone who. I mean, I think as a person who does creative things, it's there's sort of the concept of like better done than perfect. And you always want to get as close as you can to perfect, but eventually, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you probably had deadlines for this.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, I mean, that...
It's
that,
not Marvel.
Yeah, it's not Marvel.
It's not Marvel, Secret Wars.
Just getting in all the shots.
I'm just getting warmed up.
On Marvel. but, yeah, no, I mean, so having deadlines is a great way to get stuff done, but that's great that you do have that.
Yeah, I would say the beginning stages of it are the most time-consuming. The initial drawings and kind of, you know, planning out the composition and getting all the anatomy and design solid. And that, you know, that could take a couple days. But after that, then I'm inking and then I'm coloring. And, you know, then it's kind of just putting on the finishing touches after that.
That's cool. So speaking of anatomy, so this one, issue number 2, this dude is just a crazy demon. He's just like...
That's right.
He's just massively huge, and it looks like he just like kicked everyone's ass.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He's a big guy. Yeah. So...
This was the classic, you know, everyone is beaten down, and the bad guy's victorious cover.
Right. So in anatomy, like, how do you work out... Like a creature like that. Like if you're going for like a non-standard, like obviously there's still you want them to look okay. like something, yeah. but
well the Pathfinder property itself is owned by Paizo, the gaming company. So Paizo is working with Dynamite to produce these comics, and when they do that, they send Dynamite all of their reference material. And all these characters, all the main characters in the Pathfinder book, you know, they're established design characters with history and this and that. They're used in the actual role-playing game, Pathfinder. So when I started on these covers, you know, one of the first things they do is they send you all the images of all the characters
and the lore and the backstory and all that kind of stuff for how they exist in the universe.
So all the characters have to be on model, you know, for the things that they send you. So for this guy, they did have a couple concept paintings made up that they sent to me. They allowed me to stray a little bit from the initial designs. But, you know, I had some reference to go off of, and I'm forgetting this guy's name, and it's embarrassing, the demon. But I was able to use a reference for him.
He's pretty awesome.
He is.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
I like his bling, his Mr. T chains. That's awesome.
Well, they were very specific about the chains.
And because they're probably artifacts. They probably have powers.
They're still awesome.
The medallions and the, you know, the way the little tassels come off of the cape and everything, and they're very. They made sure that I had all those details in there. So I think the first time I might have left out a few.
Right.
So, you know, they got back and said, you know, we love it. Can you just get these certain details in?
And I guess that's how it would be, you know, drawing any established character. You're going to have to stick to certain guidelines.
That's right. But one of the things that I noticed, you know, doing it is, you know, in comic book, you know, the classic superhero design, you know, those costume designs are relatively simple.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, you know, back in the golden age, at least, it was just kind of like a muscular guy with the drawn on, you know, underwear, this and that.
Right.
But when you get into fantasy, you know, these characters were designed for the role-playing game, not for a comic book. When you're designing characters for a role-playing game for the fantasy genre, I think, you know, the artist wants to load up these characters with all kinds of gear and equipment and cool little, you know, things to make them, you know, visually interesting.
Right, and they also makes you want to kill them more because they have all that loot.
Well, exactly, so...
gotta get that loot.
You gotta get the loot off the bodies.
So on that second cover where it has almost all the characters, you know, visible, you know, kind of laid out on the ground there, defeated, all those little costume details had to be, you know, accurate, and the different layers of armor and the... You know, the cloth under the armor and the little embroidery patterns on, you know, a character's, like, robe and things like that. And I don't think you'd normally find that level of, like, costume detail, you know, in a mainstream comic book.
Right.
So that was challenging, for sure. But, you know, I was just doing the cover, covers. I got to give credit to the artist, the interior artist in the book, Tom Garcia, who had to deal with that, you know, panel by panel,
right,
page after page, because that's quite a chore. So yeah, he had a harder job than I did, for sure.
Anything else?
What's your what tools do you use when you're drawing? How much of it is like actual pen and pencil, and how much of it is on the computer?
Yeah, for these these were almost exclusively digital. I've been using a Wacom tablet for a long time. And if you guys aren't familiar, it's a digital tablet laid out in front of your monitor, and you have a stylus, and you draw with the stylus onto the tablet, which is laid out flat on your desk while looking at the monitor. I was using that for a long time, but I recently upgraded to the mother of all Wacom tools, which is the Cintiq, which is the actual monitor that you can draw directly on with the stylus.
Those look awesome.
So you don't have to disconnect from, you know, looking at one screen while your hand is doing another.
Writing on something else.
Yeah. Now you're all on one screen. yeah, so these are all digital, and I use Photoshop to draw them. You know, I have a whole set of brushes that kind of mimic, you know, real mediums like, you know, pencil and, you know, I do the inking in Photoshop as well. Different types of ink brushes are simulated. And of course the coloring, which is, you know, how comic books are produced now. So
awesome.
All right. So if you could have any superpower, but you can't fly or be invisible, what would you choose?
Why are you taking options away?
Yeah, those are the two that
you have to. Well, here's why you have to take those options away, because that's like what almost everyone says.
Right.
It's one or the other.
It's like the survey says, fly 50, and invisible. 50.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Fly and invisible.
So we're looking for those lower
you
numbers.
You want to get the real hidden gems.
Well, without thinking too hard about, you know, all the possibilities of superpowers that are out there, I can tell you that as a kid, I was a big X-Men fan, and I thought Nightcrawler was the coolest.
Wow.
Just being able to teleport from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And you get to be super acrobatic as well.
Yeah.
So I think I'll go with that. You know, I just teleport upstairs, grab a beer, teleport right back down.
That is really useful. Nightcrawler probably works out a lot though, because he would just be really like fat, like if he just used teleporting for everything.
Like, using the powers for evil.
Yeah. The acrobatics is just straight like circus training. Like that's not a mutant power. He has to actually do that. Otherwise he would never move, I don't think.
He wouldn't have to move.
I wouldn't.
Kind of heightened agility or something.
Yeah,
he
probably does, but in the real world, anyone who didn't have to walk to get places wouldn't. So yeah, I think that's good. What about you, Chris? Superpower. Can't fly, can't be invisible.
Can't be Nightcrawler.
Can't be Nightcrawler.
And you can't be Nightcrawler, because that was already taken.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, I'm letting everybody down.
We'll get back to it. Tim, do you have one? I feel like you have one.
I've said it before, and you broke my stones for it.
Oh,
early
good.
Ender may have. One of you did. I don't remember which one. No, I wanted the multiple manpower, where I could just multiply myself.
Oh, that's right.
But you guys broke my balls, because I said I would just use it to get shit done. I was like, I just need more hours in the day.
I can respect that one. That I should have came up with that one.
Well, you can have it. You can be with me on this. We got to stay.
There could be multiple mans.
Yeah, I need multiplicity.
Yeah.
I mean, how many multiple mans can multiple man produce of himself?
Wasn't it like 100?
It was around 100, yeah.
I only need two.
but then the other one would get greedy, and then he would want one too. So that's where it comes into play.
Yeah, he'd just be on the couch next to the fat Nightcrawler.
Or you multiply yourself three times and have them do all the work, and then you just get to sit. Yeah, you get to just do whatever. Yeah, they would get mad at you.
You
would get mad at you.
Yeah. One of the coolest things I ever heard about that was like copy paste man.
Oh, yeah.
You could just like take anything and like copy
replicate.
And paste it.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be, you'd have to have an original, so you couldn't just be like a million diamonds. But you know,
in the diamond store, you could have a million diamonds.
That's true. You got to get to the diamond store first.
Sure,
so that's a pretty good one. All right. Anything else, Tim?
Nope. I think I got my questions answered.
All
yeah.
right.
I feel good about it.
So. The book is Pathfinder Hollow Mountain. It's a 6-issue miniseries. James is the... which alternate covers are you on? It was a specific one.
Okay, so there's 6 issues. Number four is the one that I'm not on. So you can find my covers on issues 1 through 3 and 5 and 6. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And 3, I believe you're the main cover? Yes?
Yes.
That's right.
So there were like different editions of each issue?
Yeah, these were variants?
Yeah, sorry. These are all variant covers, if I didn't mention that before. These are in the back of the issue I'm looking at now. They have the cover gallery. And well, it looks like there's seven of them.
If you include the blank, and
if I'm including the blank sketch cover, so say there's six different full art covers. For each issue, one of them is a Peizo.com exclusive cover. And that was the first one that I did. That's only available through Peizo.com. But the rest are available for order at your local comic book shop.
There it is. Issue 3, cover A. That's pretty awesome, man. Most places get cover A, so that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to be cover A on that one for sure.
And we definitely get people who get that book in their pull bins, and I will be like, hey, I know that guy.
Oh, excellent.
And they'll be like, could you get him to sign? I'll be like, no, he won't sign your books.
He hasn't signed.
He doesn't
books.
Love you.
So, do you want to let people know where they can find your work online or where they can get in contact with you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. My website is the easiest way to find all my different social media contacts and things like that. I'm at James Boyle, B as in boy, B-O-Y-L-E. So it's jamesboyle.com. From there you can find my Facebook page, James Boyle Illustration. I have a Tumblr blog. I'm on Instagram as Boyle James. Twitter, it's all there. And I have lots of my other work available on my website for other projects, non-comic book related. I do a lot of editorial work for magazines, things like this. So definitely check me out on there, and see you on the internet.
Cool. And if you want to see the album covers that he did for my band, go to highcouncil.net and click on the listen tab, and you will see No Further Questions and Motion Denied on there. And you can see his artwork there too. All right. Well, thank you for being with us. And
thank you
for being on the show.
Thank you very much, guys. It's great.